We do bid each of you a very warm welcome along to our service here this Sabbath morning. We're going to commence our worship today by singing the hymn 301, Standing on the Promises of Christ our King. Through eternal ages, let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. The hymn 301, we're keeping our seats and we're singing three verses of this hymn. Let us just bond together in a word of prayer. I'd like to encourage you to take time just to ask the Lord for his presence and for his touch even upon your own life and upon each of us as we gather here this morning. Our Father in heaven, we thank you today for the wonderful privilege of gathering with thy people in thy house to worship thy name. We come, Lord, this morning into thy presence, none daring to make us afraid. We thank thee that as we come standing on the promises of God. We thank thee for the many promises that encourage us to come unto thee, promises that thou would hear and that thou would answer. We thank you, Lord, for promises that thou would answer even more abundantly than we could ever even imagine. And we thank thee that thy promises, unlike the promises of man, that thy promises do not fail. We come this morning, Lord, to praise thee. We thank thee that we are the living to praise thy name. We thank thee for the health and strength that we enjoy this morning. We thank thee for the desire that is in our hearts to come to the house of God and to worship thee. We recognize, Lord, there's many in this world today, and they have no thought of thee. They're in the things of this world, living for the pleasures of sin. But we rejoice, Lord, for grace that sought us, grace that changed us, grace that enables us to gather in this place to worship thee. And we ask as we gather this morning, Lord, stand in our midst. We pray that thou wouldst come and that thou wouldst teach us from thy word. We thank thee that thou art the potter, we are the clay. And we pray, Lord, that we might feel the potter's hands even upon our lives this morning, that we might feel thee fashioning us, shaping us, making us more into thy image. We recognize, Lord, that in many ways this world needs many things. And yet we realize that one of the things that it needs most is men and women who are like thee. And we pray, Lord, that we might be made more in thine image, even through thy word this morning. Remember those who are not able to be with us this morning. We think of the sick. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst draw alongside them. We thank thee that thou art a sympathizing Savior. Remember those who mourn. We think especially of our brother Frank. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst draw alongside and that thou wouldst comfort him at this time. And Lord, as we gather this morning, we remember also the royal family. We do remember especially Her Majesty the Queen at the loss of her husband, the Duke of Edinburgh. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst draw near. We thank thee, Lord, that it is thou and thou alone that raises up kings and rulers and puts people in places of authority, and it is thee that bringest them down. And we thank you today for his service, even in his role. We think especially even of his service during the Second World War. And we pray, Lord, for our Queen as she misses today her partner and husband. And we pray that you would draw near to her. And we ask, Lord, that even as a nation has been reminded once again that life, even at its longest, is brief, that they would consider their letter end. And Lord, we pray that the message of death would be heeded and that souls would come and seek thee as their Savior, that they would make ready now, lest they would leave it too late. And so, Lord, we pray that thou wouldst be with us here this morning. Pour out thy Spirit upon us. Give to us even a spirit of worship. For, Lord, we ask these things in thy name and for thy glory. Amen. Amen. We're turning in our Bibles this morning to the book of Joshua, to the chapter 1. We have, even in the last few days, heard the news of the passing of the Duke of Edinburgh. And as we come into the book of Joshua, we find the passing of Moses. And Moses, of course, was the great leader, had been raised up by God to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. And now they receive news of his passing. Book of Joshua, the chapter 1, and we're reading from the beginning of the chapter. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, Pass through the host, and command the people, saying, Prepare your victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan, to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. Amen. We know that God will bless the reading of his own precious word to each of our hearts. At this stage, we're going to ask our brother, Mr. Todd, to come and to make the announcements for the incoming week.
Watching and listening online as well. We do pray that the Lord will bless each one of us as we've come here to worship him this morning and as we listen to his word. A welcome to any visitors who may be with us this morning. Sometimes it's hard to see behind the masks who's a visitor and who's not, but you're very welcome if you're visiting with us this morning, and trust that the Lord will bless you also as you meet with us. So here are the announcements for the incoming week. First of all, there will be no Sunday school or Bible class this afternoon. This evening service will take place here in the church and also online at 7 p.m. Reverend Murray will be the preacher, and the service will be preceded by a time of prayer in the minor hall at 6:15 once again. The midweek meeting this week, which is on Tuesday night at 8 p.m, will take the form of a deputation meeting. This week, Miss Joyce Walsh will be along to speak about her work as a child evangelist under the mission board, and there will be a retiring offering to support her in her work for the Lord at that meeting. Then this Wednesday, the Beeline meeting recommences after the Easter break. Speaker this Wednesday will be the Reverend Murray. We will be broadcasting the meeting live on Facebook, Sermon Audio and YouTube at 7 p.m. And we would invite you all to tune in with us. A note for the diary, the final Beeline children's meeting for this session will take place on Wednesday the 28th of April. And on that date, the guest speaker will be the Reverend Daniel Henderson from Munnish Lane Free Presbyterian Church. Just a reminder to our elders that there will be a session meeting this Thursday at 7 p.m. online. Then this Friday, the Youth Fellowship returns here in the church, and the Reverend Murray will be the speaker this Friday at the Youth Fellowship. Next week, the services will be at the normal times of 11:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. here in the church, each preceded by a time of prayer 45 minutes before the service. Reverend Murray will be the speaker at the morning service next Lord's Day. And then at the evening service, Reverend Raymond McLernan will be giving his testimony. Reverend McLernan was formerly the minister of Tullyvallen and also Bush Mills Free Presbyterian Church, and he's a visitor here with us this morning. Also, the Sunday school will resume next Lord's Day at 3 p.m. and the Bible class at 4 p.m. online. Missionary boxes are now due in, and when you bring your box in, will you just leave it on the hall table, and our brother John Dummigan will lift it from the hall table there. And just finally, could I express our condolences to Her Majesty the Queen on the loss of Prince Philip, and we do pray that the Lord will comfort her and draw near to her and to the family circle at this time, and they might know the Lord's presence and the Lord's power, even at this time. Thank you.
Do thank our brother for making the announcements. Please do remember that special testimony meeting next Sunday night. I have to be careful what I say about our brother as he's sitting down here. But I listened to his testimony just a few weeks ago, and I was really blessed through it. So we encourage you to come out and even to invite others, or if they're not able to come out, even invite them to listen by means of sermon audio, YouTube or Facebook. So please do remember that. Before we turn to God's word, let's just stand together to our feet for a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you today that we have an open Bible. We thank thee that it is thy word. It has been given to us to instruct us. And we pray, Lord, that as we come to it this morning, that we might have submissive hearts. Help us to lay aside our reason. And help us, Lord, to obey thee no matter whate'er the command. Help us, Lord, to obey thee not only in the large things, but also in the small details of life as well. To that end, I ask that thou wouldst open up the passage we've read together. Lord, may our hearts burn within us as we consider these words. To that end, I ask thee for help. O God, bring to my remembrance the things that thou would have us to say. And by thy Spirit, take thy truth and apply it to each and to every heart. May we leave saying, we have heard the voice of the Lord. For we pray in thy name and for thy glory. Amen. Amen. The book of Joshua, the chapter 1. I want to draw your attention to the opening verses of this chapter, Joshua chapter 1. And we'll read again the verses 2 and 3. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. In the final chapters of the book of Deuteronomy, we find Moses entering his 120th year. Knowing time was short, he gathered the people he had led for 40 years around him, warning them of the dangers and pitfalls which lay ahead. He then began to climb the rough and rugged slopes of Mount Nebo. Reaching its height, he surveying the vastness of the land of Canaan. His spirit then departed. News of his death filtering back into the camp, it shook it to its very core. Fear and alarm spreading like a wild, raging fire. The fountains of sorrow burst open, tears flowing down their cheeks. They became still. And beholding their stillness, the Lord then intervening, he commanded Joshua to arise, taking up the Ark of the Covenant. He told him to go down into the depths of the river Jordan. Crossing over it, he was then to go up against the Canaanites, overthrowing and destroying their cities. They were to claim them as their own. And rather than sitting still and mourning the passing of Moses, they were to be marching, going forward, to be seeking to take new ground, to enter into those possessions that the Lord had promised them. And you know, rather than mourning, we are to be marching, to be continually seeking to take new ground in our lives and in our land. Indeed, the Lord, earlier speaking to the same people, he commanded them in Exodus 14 through Moses, saying, go forward. And obeying this, the spirit of this command, Paul, many centuries later, writing to the Philippian believers, he said, forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark. And rather than becoming self-satisfied with his position, we find that Paul was constantly seeking to take new ground. And rather than becoming still or self-satisfied, we are to be striving, seeking to take new ground for Christ in our souls, in our service, even taking new ground for Christ in society. The great pioneer missionary David Livingstone, writing to the directors of the London Missionary Society, he told them, and I quote, that he was at their disposal to go anywhere provided and be forward. You see, rest is not for this life, but rather it is for the life to come. We are to be continually seeking to go forward, seeking to claim new ground for Christ in our lives and also in our land. And I wonder, child of God, this morning, are you seeking to take new ground? Are you seeking to take ground in your own life? Seeking to drive out those sins? Seeking to rededicate every member of your body to the Lord? Are you in society seeking to take new ground? Seeking to reach new souls with the message of the gospel? We're not to be sitting content, but we are to be pressing on. We are in our lives to be seeking to take new ground. And so I want this morning to draw your attention to these words spoken to Joshua. I want you to notice firstly here the promise the Lord declared. In the book of Genesis, we find a mysterious darkness descending upon the patriarch Abraham. Falling asleep, he had beheld the promised land and now promising to give the same land to Joshua. You notice here the richness of this promise. Setting forth its boundaries, the Lord said, verse 4, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. It was a vast land. In fact, travelers in Palestine tell us that it was the whole earth in miniature. Within its territory, there were plains and hills. There were brooks and rivers. And beneath its rich and fertile soil, there were vast deposits of precious stones and metals. And entering into this land, everything was ready, waiting for them. They would not have to build new houses, nor would they have to plant new vineyards. The hills and valleys were flowing with milk and with honey. There was here in this land all that they could ever desire, all that they could ever require. And like this land, Christ is a rich possession. In Him there is all that we could ever desire, and there is all that we could possibly require. Indeed, centuries later, the Apostle Paul, meditating upon the love and the greatness of Christ, he said in Ephesians 3, verse 19, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. And he reminded them that such was the greatness of God that he was able not merely to satisfy them, but he was able to fill them with all graces. When a person is full, there is nothing lacking. And more than that, there is room for nothing else. In other words, Paul was telling them here that in Christ they would find all that they could need and much, much more. You see, Christ not only forgives us, but he fills us. He is able to meet our every requirement and our every request. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, "We have all things in Christ. Yea, in him we have all that our utmost want can require." Did you know this morning it's possible to have something and yet not to have it? Some of you may have books in your library that you have not read. In a sense, those books, they are your books. You own them. And yet, in another sense, they are not your books. They are legally yours, but you have never possessed their wisdom, nor have you possessed their contents. You see, in Christ there are promises. In Christ there is power. In Christ there are possessions exceedingly rich. They are yours. But I wonder today, have you possessed them? Have you entered into them? My in him, my there is all that we could ever need. And I wonder, child of God, as you sit in this meeting this morning, what is your need? Is it peace? Is it power? It is in Christ. There is in him all that you could ever need. But I wonder, have you possessed it? Have you entered into it? Oh, what a word to these people going forward. There was all that they need. What richness there is in Christ this morning. Not only the richness of the promise, but we notice the receiving of this promise. Promising to give to them this land, the Lord said in Exodus 25, verses 29 and 30, I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. By little and little, I will drive them out from before thee. Rather than giving to them this whole land in one go, the Lord said that he would give it to them gradually. And the reason for that was that their numbers at this particular time were relatively small. Being unable to labor the entire land, parts of it not being cultivated, they would quickly have become desolate. Briars and weeds springing up, it would have quickly become infested with wild and devouring animals. And in order to prevent this, the Lord only drove the Canaanites out as they multiplied and as they became strong. You see, spiritual growth is not only encouraged, but it is essential. It is only as we grow in Christ, it is only as we become strong, that we are able to enter into the possessions that Christ has purchased for us. Indeed, the Lord Jesus Christ, partaking of the Last Supper, we find him then going out into the darkness of the night. Beholding the golden vine there upon the temple, he turned to the disciples and he said, I am the true vine. And longing to reveal to them even far, far greater truths, he then said in John 16:12, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. And being unable to bear these weightier truths, the Lord spoke no more to them on this occasion. You see, in Christ, all spiritual blessings are ours. However, it is only as we grow in Christ that we are able to enter into and to enjoy them. For example, a child at a very young age could be crowned to be our next king or to be crowned to be our next queen. However, it is only as they grow in wisdom and in stature that they will finally be permitted to exercise the power of their office. And you see, it's only as we grow in grace, it's only as we become stronger in the Lord that we then are able to enter into the fullness of the blessings that Christ has purchased for us at Calvary's cross. He has purchased for you and me power. But you know, if he was to give to you or I my all power the moment that we were converted, we may have used that power unwisely. You see, it's only as we grow in grace, it's only as we become stronger in the Lord that we are enabled to enter into our possessions. In Christ, there is more peace than you have experienced. In Christ, there are greater
possessions than you have enjoyed. And believer, it's only as you grow in grace. It's only as you become stronger that you'll be able to enter into and to enjoy them. Not only the receiving of the promise, but we notice the rejection of this promise. Appearing to Joshua, the Lord said in verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all the people unto the land, which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Some objecting, they say, but this land was not their land. It belonged to the Canaanites. However, they forget one thing. They forget that the whole earth belongs to the Lord. And belonging to the Lord, he now freely gave it to the children of Israel. However, while it was theirs for the taking, yet because of sin and because of unbelief, they failed to fully possess it. And you see, sin is a tyrant and a thief. Entering into your life, it will rob you of God's best. Indeed, in James's day, a number of carnal believers, beholding their barrenness, they began to murmur and complain against the Lord. And James rebuking them, he said in James 4, verse 2, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. You see, the reason for their barrenness lay not in heaven, but it lay in their hearts. It was because of sin and a failure to ask. You see, sin not only impedes the life, but sin impoverishes the life. It robs us of our spiritual blessings. You see, that sin may seem to you a small sin. It may seem an insignificant sin. You've looked at it and you thought to yourself, well, I needn't think or bother about that particular sin. But my friend, that sin will rob you of your possessions in Christ. It'll rob you of your peace. It'll rob you of your power. It'll rob you of all the other blessings that God has given. You know, in 2018, the headline appeared in a newspaper, Hunt for 76.3 million lottery winner as prize goes unclaimed in the United Kingdom. In Christ, we have treasures that neither moth nor rust can corrupt. And I would say to you, child of God, this morning, do not leave your possessions. Do not leave what God has given unclaimed. But enter into your possessions. Oh, the world sometimes looks upon the child of God and they despise the child of God. But believer, we are blessed. God has held nothing back. He has given to us all spiritual blessings, just as he gave to the children of Israel the entire land. But I think as we look at this portion, not only do we notice the promise the Lord declared, but there was the path the Lord demanded, passing over the mountains of Edom and through the difficult passes of Seir. The children of Israel suddenly beheld the richness and the beauty of Canaan. However, in order to enter in and possess it, you notice a crossing was required. Directing Joshua, the Lord said, verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. For 40 years they had labored and wandered in the howling wastes of the wilderness. However, faith now growing within their hearts, the Lord commanded them to rise up and to cross over the Jordan. And entering down into its depths, they were leaving for the last time the conflicts and the trials of the wilderness. Of course, the wilderness was not only a desert place, but according to Psalm 78, verse 17, it was a dry place. And because of its emptiness and barrenness, the wilderness in Scripture speaks to us of the world. You see, before they could enter into Canaan, before they could possess their possessions, they needed to leave the wilderness, or they needed to leave the world. And before entering into our wealth, there must be an exiting of the world, a leaving behind of its sinful pleasures and pollution. And you go back into the book of Genesis, we read there of Abraham. We're told in Genesis 12, verse 1, "Now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." The Ur of the Chaldee was a place of idolatry and immorality. So vile that in Romans chapter 1, we are told not once, but we're told three times over that God gave them up. And rather than remaining in this vile, wicked, sensual place as a witness, the Lord told Abram, if you are to be blessed, to enter into your blessings, then you must come out from it. Separation is not only encouraged, but it is essential. Without a forsaking of the world and its sinful pleasures, we can't enter into the riches of Christ. Just as the balloon cannot rise up into the sky until the string is cut, so we can't rise up into the blessings that are ours in Christ until we cut the ties with this old sinful world's pollutions and its corruptions. Someone said you cannot enjoy the richness of Canaan while in the sands of the wilderness. And you see, believer, if you're going to enter into your possessions, if you're going to enjoy the power of God and the peace of God and the blessing of God in your life, there must be an exiting of this old sinful world's pleasures and pollutions. There must be a leaving of it behind. Are we not reminded that we're in the world? But we're not of the world. We live in this world, but we're not to be living for this world. And believer, until we break those ties and leave behind this old sinful world's pollutions and sinful pleasures, we can't enter into the richness that is in Christ. Oh, there must be a leaving. Not only was a crossing required, but you notice a conflict was required. Look at verse 2. "Therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel." As you read on through this book, you quickly discover that this land had already been possessed. Plowing its fields and grazing its valleys, the Canaanites had built many fortified cities. And not willing to share their crops and their homes with the children of Israel, Joshua was now to drive them out. Taking up the sword, he overthrew the city of Jericho. He overthrew the city of Ai. He slew the warriors. And of course, in Scripture, the Canaanites typify or they speak of the flesh. You see, there must also be a driving out of the flesh. Only then are we able to enter into our possessions in Christ. Paul taking up his pen, writing to the Roman believers. He said in Romans chapter 13, verse 14, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereto." You notice there that before they could put on Christ, there needed to be a restraining or a starving of the old man of the flesh. You see, before there can be a putting on of Christ, there must be a putting off of corruption, a slaying of sin in our hearts. Can you imagine going away on holiday? Probably in these days you can only imagine it because you're not allowed really to go anywhere. But can you imagine going away on holidays and you come home from holiday and it's late at night, you drive the car up into the drive and to your amazement the lights are on. You get out of the car, you go to the front door, the door is open, you walk in, and there the television is blaring, there's someone sitting in the settee. You go into the kitchen and there the tables are set and there's a few more people sitting around the table enjoying your food. You know, in order to possess your home, what's the first thing that you must do? You must drive out those uninvited guests. And child of God, if you're going to possess your riches in Christ, there needs to be a driving out of those sins, a driving out of those things that are condemned in Scripture. Now, we're not to be letting evil thoughts have a nest, but we need to burn the nest down and drive those thoughts out. You see, if we're going to possess our possession, yes, there must be that separation from the world, but more than that, there must be a driving out of sin, a crucifying of that old sinful nature that dwells within. Not only was a conflict required, but notice a claiming was required. He said, verse 3, "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses." You notice here that he didn't say, "I will give to you this land," but he said, "I have already given this land to you." But while it was already their land, yet they still needed to go in and they still needed to tread this land with the sole of their feet. In other words, God gave them the land. It was their land. But they needed to personally claim it. You see, the promises of God are given not just to be considered, but to be claimed. We must, as it were, set our feet on them. William Penn, going to America, he made a deal with the Red Indians. Now, they said that they would give him as much land as he could walk in one day. And the agreement being made, William Penn immediately began to walk. And he walked and he walked and he walked. And just as the sun was beginning to set, he came back. And he told the Indians where he had walked. And they complained that he had too big of a walk. You see, like William Penn, it's not enough to view the land. We need, as it were, to walk the land. We need to tread the land. Oh, we could take the promises of God and we could memorize them, and I would encourage you to do that. We could take the promises of God and we could put them in a lovely frame and we could give them a place of priority in our home, and that's good. It's a testimony that we belong to God. But, believer, we need to go beyond that. We need to claim the promises. Now, there's promises of power. We have the promise of his presence. We have the promise of peace. We need to claim them. In Christ, all blessings, all spiritual blessings have been given to you and to me. God is not miserable in his giving. My He took our sin. He scattered as far as the east is from the west. And then he said, here's the key to my treasure house. Go in, possess it, enjoy it. And you have the key in your hand. But, oh, child of God, have you entered in? Are you enjoying the blessings of Christ in your life? Are you claiming more with every passing day? Not only the promise and the path, but I want you to notice lastly, there was the precepts the Lord delivered. Sending him forth, the Lord not only gave him a promise, but he gave to him his precepts. You notice the supremacy of these precepts. Look at verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. In verse 8, we discover that this law had not been given to them orally, but it had been given to them in a book. And receiving it, he was not to turn to the right hand, nor was he to turn to the left hand, but this book was to regulate his whole life. In other words, he was to place it above the ways and the traditions and the thinking of his own people. You see, the Word of God, it is pure, but it must also be preeminent. Having been breathed by God, it must take precedence over every other rule, every other custom that there may be in society. Just as the House of Lords is a final court of appeal, so, child of God, the Bible for you and I is the final court of appeal. When we come to the Word of God and we come to a command or we come to some issue, we may have our own ideas. We might think, well, times have changed, society has changed. I don't think it's the right way to do it. I don't think it's the right way to go. But we must bow to the Word of God. The law of God must be preeminent. It must come above every other person, every other tradition, every other law sent down by man. And I wonder, child of God, this morning, is the Bible to you the final court of appeal? When you're worried about something or wondering what way to go, and God opens up the Scriptures and God shows you the way to go, do you say, that's enough? Now I must go. I must go. Not only the supremacy of these precepts, but notice the study of these precepts. He said, verse 8, the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. The word meditate there simply means to discuss or to dispute. Augustine translates it as chatter. Of course, chatter is the employment of little birds. You ever rise early in the morning and the little birds are out there and they're singing. And they go through their little refrain. It doesn't last very long, and then they sing it again. And then they sing it again, and then they sing it again. And as such, in telling him to meditate upon the law, he was telling him to go over it again and again, examining every word, comparing every precept. You see, as well as memorizing, there needs to be a meditating upon the Word of God. We're to turn it over and over and over in our minds. We tell children growing up, don't gulp your food. We say, just sit at the table, take your time, might chew that bit of food a few more times. And we get cross if they gulp it down. Leads to indigestion. But how often we forget that when we come to the Word of God. We're not to gulp it down. We're to take our time. We're to meditate upon it. We're to turn it over and over and over and over again. You see, child of God, when you leave your seat and you go home today, you're not finished. You're really just beginning. You're to take the word and you're to turn it over in your mind. And you're to think about it again and again and again. Not only the study of the precepts, but notice there was a submission to these precepts. Verse 8, thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. They were to obey. You see, having studied the Word of God, there must then be a submitting to the Word of God and an obeying of its every command. Thomas Monton, the great Puritan writer, said, meditation is in order to practice. Having pondered the Word of God, if we stop there, we loss out. We ponder. Why? That we might practice. That we might put it into action. You see, not only does a service not end but going home to meditate upon the Word, but going home saying, now, how can I live it? How can I put it into practice in my life? What news they got? Moses was dead. It was Moses that had led them through the Red Sea. It was Moses, when things went wrong, came before God, put matters right. He was the greatest of leaders. Can we almost this morning sense the panic? Moses is dead. But in such a time, the Lord gave them the land. He set before them the richness of Canaan and said, rise up and enter in. And child of God, this morning, the Lord sets before you the richness of his possession. He says to you, all blessings are yours. Now enter in. What would we have thought of the children of Israel if they came and looked and then pulled back? We would say, you've walked, marched for 40 years. Why? Why, when this great land is before you, why will you not enter it? Believer today, why? Why, when Christ has died and purchased for you freely a great inheritance, peace and power and many other blessings, why not enter into them and enjoy them and possess them and then be able to be victorious and glorify the name of Christ? Let us just bow together in prayer. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst take thy word, help us as we would leave shortly, not only to continue to meditate upon it, but help us, O God, to submit to it and to enter into those possessions that thou hast purchased for us. Be with us now in the closing moments of this service, for Lord, we pray in thy name and for thy glory. Amen. We're turning in closing to the hymn 535. Rejoice in the Lord, O let his mercy cheer. He sunders the bands that enthrall. Redeemed by his blood, why should we ever fear? Since Jesus is our all in all. The hymn 535, again, keeping our seats while we sing.
Thank you.
Father in heaven, we thank thee for these words that we've been singing. If God be for us, who can be against us? Lord, we confess that so often we forget this truth and we live in defeat. And we cry to thee that thou wouldst help us to lift up our eyes, help us to see that in thee all things are stored, and to enter into those possessions and to live in victory for thee day by day. Part us now with thy blessing. Take us to our homes in safety, for we pray in thy name and for thy glory. Amen.